Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Of that last part, perseverance. Perseverance. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long race. Help us to finish that race, Lord. Help us to finish that race. The shield of faith. I just want to do a quick review last week of what we did. Just highlighting a couple of points. It won't be a long review. But above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And I gave you the example of the Roman soldier. And the shields that they carried were like basically the size of a door. A small door, but quite large. Large enough for them to crouch behind it. And you remember on that shield had a what was called a boss. Remember the metal? It was like a curve with the metal. And the boss was shaped the same curtain at center, a large metal knob. And that was used typically as an offensive piece, minor capacity, but still an offensive piece. And I'll give you an example of that. But faith, we talked about faith, and it's not feelings and it's not emotions. Our circumstances dictate our feelings. And I had said last week, if things were going well, you felt great. And if things weren't going well, you felt bad. And our circumstances can always dictate things to us. I just want to give you an example as I was reviewing this myself. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. It says, and it came to pass that as, this is verse 1, as people pressed on to him, hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of, not even going to try to attempt to say that one, Genesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. You guys know who Simon is, right? Peter. And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered unto him, saying, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Stop there. We've toiled all night and have nothing. Sounds like his circumstances have dictated his feelings at this point. He's exhausted. We've been out here all day. We've been out here all day and we've got nothing. Nothing to show for it. Not even one fish. Now look at the next part. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Huh. So, at his word, because what Jesus said to him, they caught fish because he was obedient. And that's what I said last week. In essence, faith is the truth of what God says on a matter and our ability to act on it. And it requires consistent application. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Substance is tangible. Evidence is solid proof. And faith is undeniable truth. It is real. And that's what we've been learning about. The world has a form of faith. And I said that last week. It's based on sight. So it's a counterfeit. It's things you can actually tangibly touch and feel. And that's where man bases their faith on. If I can touch it and feel it, and I know it's real. So it's really not faith at all. Faith, again, is the evidence of things not seen. Another example. Turn over to Matthew chapter 8. In verse 5, when Jesus was entered in Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Stop there. I am not worthy. What did I say just a few moments ago? Pride. Pride. Pride can block you from God's purpose in your life. Your pride can block you. He came humbly. That's what he said. I am not worthy. That is a humble spirit. Now the Lord can do his work. I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. But speak the word only. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And this is a man, and he explains here. He explains how he understands authority. All authority is what we just sang. All authority is under his name, Jesus. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Do you understand that? And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Those are those who hear that receive in the heart, have accepted Christ. Not just said a prayer, but actually applied it. Applied the faith. Applied to God what God said about a matter. Applied to the truth. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. That is a great example of faith. And applying God's word to the situation. He just knew, Jesus, if you just spoke it, you don't have to go and touch him. Though Jesus did heal people with touching. You know, remember he spit on the blind man with the mud. And he gave him sight. But Jesus doesn't have to touch. All he has to do is speak. How did he create the world, folks? He spoke it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He believed that God's Word was the authority. Faith. We are justified by faith. Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And because of that, because we are justified by the faith, we are overcomers. And 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith in whom? Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. We talked about the example of grace being on deposit. Faith gives you access to that grace. And then as a result, you have works. As a result of faith in Christ Jesus, you should have works that follow. And that's what James talks about. Amen. Even so, faith in James chapter 2, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So we are justified by grace through faith, not by works. The works don't make us righteous, and you need to understand that. It's faith in Christ Jesus. But because you have faith in Christ Jesus, because you have a new heart, the works should flow out of you. Amen. It should be a result. It's common nature that just it would just flow through you. It should flow from the heart. You should want to serve your master. And then that's where we left. So I told you I'd do a brief summary, but I wanted to add a couple of notes in there. I wanted to add a couple of things. That's how the Lord works. He keeps giving more and more. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. And I think it's so important that it's not just Hebrews chapter 11. It's just so important that you don't just hear me talk, but we let the Word of God, in our heart. Let's hear what the Word of God says. And let's look at the examples of faith. This is the faith chapter. And we're going to pick it up in 11, chapter 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We already covered that. For it by elders, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hallelujah. That's what we just talked about. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And here we go. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet spoke. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had passed this testimony that he pleased God. Remember what we said. When God is pleased. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And I just want to stop for a moment there. It took forever to build that ark. But by faith, he persevered, right? Faith gives us the ability to persevere. He persevered amongst ridicule, amongst naysayers, saying, no, you're a joke. You're a joke. It's a drought. Why don't you come out and party? Come on, let's go. Let's have fun. What are you doing? You're taking time to build an ark. Really? Really? But by faith, he persevered. And what did God do? He saved Noah and his family. That was it. Everyone else. I mean, God actually grieved for making man at that point. That he wanted to just drown them all. Drown them all. But by faith, God was pleased in Noah by his faith. And so Noah and his family were saved, thus giving us still the ability. I mean, God very well could have ended it right then and there. So people say, well, how could God love people and still take them away? They had multiple opportunities for 120 years, I believe, is what it took to build that ark. 120 years for repentance. Because I believe Noah wasn't just sitting there building the ark. He was preaching as that was happening. He was testifying. And I don't think he was crouching down when they were making fun of him. I think he spoke back to him. Said, you'll see. Repent. 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 That's how you give your heart to the Lord. You give your heart to the Lord and you repent. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whether he went. He had no destination. He just listened to God. He listened to God. He knew of God's promise and he had faith in that. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. We are pilgrims in a strange country. We are pilgrims in this strange world, looking on to that promise of the glory, that heaven, to be with our Maker. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. You never know, Rich and Shirley. You just never know. You never know. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one of them, and him as good as dead. So many the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. These are pre-Christ. These are pre-Christ. They have the promise, but they actually didn't receive the promise. Just having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Are you confessing that you are a stranger and pilgrim on this earth? For the promise has come. It was fulfilled at Calvary. Amen. For they that say such things declare plainly, and they that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. They've changed. They don't want to go back to the mud. They don't want to go back to the mud. That is heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that he had received the promises offered up only his begotten son. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? What did God do? Gave his only begotten son. That was an example. The scarlet thread that runs throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. Only God didn't take Isaac. He said, show me your faith, Abraham. And then he takes Isaac all the way to the point where he's about to kill him. And God said, I'll do one better. I appreciate your faith, but I understand. And now I will show you my promise, and I will do one better. I will actually give my son fully. I will go through it completely. You know, this is the power of the Word of God. Just reading it here. Just reading it. This is such an awesome chapter. You just sit there and you read these examples. So when you're feeling weary, pick up this book. Pick up this book. Stand and cling to that promise. You don't think they had tough times? Of whom it was that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. It doesn't matter what the world says. You listen to his voice, and he will direct you. And he accomplishes his plan then, his plan. All along, he did not want Moses to die there. And it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to call the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing. Just listen to these words, folks. Now apply it to your life. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's a season, folks. We're here such a short time. This life is so short. For some of us, it's shorter than others. It's a choice. It's a choice we make. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Christ, the greater treasure than Egypt. For he had respect unto recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What? What did we just talk? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. Again, an example, the scarlet thread running throughout. He lest he that had destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to be drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after the days were compassed about 7 days. We just read about that, didn't we? We taught about that. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me. He's getting exhausted writing all these stories. He's like, oh, let me tell you a quick more. I'm not going to go into too much detail. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. Those are some pretty awesome names, by the way. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, brought righteous, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Stop the mouths of lions. What is the devil? As a lion. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness were made strong. When we are weak, he is strong. In our weakness, we are made strong. And that's what it's just confirmed. Out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. It didn't matter what came their way. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, cut in half, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And here it sums it up. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. So again, this is pre-Christ. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, 12:1-2, seeing we are all compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, hallelujah, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our what, folks? Say it together. Faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Jesus, for bearing the cross. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for bearing the cross. The author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith allows us as a body to shield our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to give you back the example going back to the Roman soldiers. So the Roman soldiers of Paul's day were sometimes subject to a virtual shower of arrows that rained down from above. So as protection, they would use a formation known as the testudo or tortoise formation. The tortoise formation involved banding together in order to raise shields against arrows coming from any direction. The soldiers formed a tight square. Those in the front raised their shields in front of them. Those on the sides faced to the side and raised their shields. Those in the middle raised their shields overhead to protect the arrows from flying in above. And this is the way that no part of the band of soldiers were exposed. So Plutarch, a Greek historian, wrote it, and this is in Lives of the Noble Grecians and Romans, chapter 60. This is how he described it. But the full-armed infantry facing round received the light troops within, and those in the first rank knelt on one knee, holding their shields before them, the next rank holding theirs over the first, and so again others over these, much like the tiling of a house or the rows of seats in a theater, the whole affording sure defense against arrows which glance upon them without doing any harm. So we as a body, our faith, together. And I want to give you the confirmation that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. This is New Living Translation. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. Our faith. Together, we can become a force. When we act on God's word and his truth, regardless of our circumstances, do you know how powerful that would be if everyone in this body right here acted on God's word, the truth of what God says about a matter, not our own desires, not our own plans, our selfishness, but we actually sought what God wanted. And what did he say about a matter? As one body, fit together. It says that an example, that Paul gives an example. He's using that Roman soldier's example. And I think that's what he meant. You know, as a body, you know. If we all carry the shield of faith, we can protect one another. We can help protect one another. When another person's hurting, when one part of the body's hurting, you know, the whole body should feel that. Encourage them. Encourage them. Brother, I heard you. I got your text this morning. I prayed for you right then and there. Prayer. Jesse opens up the church on prayer for Wednesday nights. Can't make it? Make sure you're still praying for this body. Amen. I need your prayers. Amen. This country needs our prayers. Right. Your family members, those who aren't in Christ, you need to be praying intercessory for them that they may come to know him who saved you, your testimony. I'm not going to get through this again. So I want to talk about when we return next week, I want to talk about the shield quenching all the fiery darts of the wicked and the importance of that. And some of it's going to be tied into some things we've already covered. But it's so important that it doesn't matter if stuff gets regurgitated. This stuff has to get inside of you. It has to be a part of you. It's just like, it's, you know, we would do things when I played football, like constantly over repetitiveness, over and over and over again, so that when the game happened, it became second nature. I didn't have to think about it. It was just reactionary. And that's the word gets inside of you so that when times come, you hold up the shield of faith. It just becomes a response. You're going to come back at it with truth. But you have to know the truth to apply the truth, to apply and accept the truth. You guys understand that? Do you understand the importance of it? And so it doesn't matter if I regurgitate things. You know, you need to hear it and you need to receive it. Some of you have received it and you have sown it on good ground. Some of you have cast it aside on the wayside, or you've let the cares of the world come in and rob it away. I have to constantly repeat to myself the things that I'm going through and review, because the cares of the world come in and try to rob it from me. I'm not perfect. I told you I was struggling this morning. It was tough. It was tough to get up here and preach. We all get attacked in different ways. He studies us. That's why we must study to show ourselves approved. You get that? Do you understand that? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your truth. Thank you for stirring me, Father. Father, be with us this week as we go our separate ways, as we go into our workplaces today and this week, as we come in contact with others, Father, that we be obedient to your voice, to the Holy Spirit tugging at our hearts to share your truth, Lord. Not our own words, but your words. Help us to accomplish your will, Lord. Help us to be light to this dark, dark world. Forgive us if we've missed the mark this week. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you've provided for us. The air that I breathe right now, Father. The breath you have just given me. Thank you, Father. Strengthen this body. Strengthen them, Father, if they are weary. Touch them where they are hurting. Heal them if they are wounded. That we all may be found in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.